Hi, I'm Leanne Blaney, adventure coach, speaker, and award-winning author. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast, where we are having conversations about what might be holding you back and how to move forward to achieve your dream life. Come along on a journey and set yourself up by having freedom in your choices, becoming grounded and centered, and learn how to speak from the heart. For more information, go to leanneblaney.com. Let's ignite your life. Sharon Muscat is one of Australia's foremost experts on healing and loss. Through her work as one of the country's most sought-after funeral celebrants, she has worked with thousands of individuals experiencing the realities of grief and loss. As a celebrated international keynote speaker and founder of the Love in Death movement, Sharon is dedicated to sharing life lessons, transforming the fear of death, and celebrating the power of love.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thanks, Leanne. Lovely to be here.
I'm really excited to talk about our theme today of love and death. But do you want to start off first by telling our listeners a bit about yourself and how you got to this point?
Sure. Where I'll start is 15 years ago, I was at the absolute top of my corporate career. I was actually working for a global company, traveling the world with them, and loved life and thought I had everything that I ever wanted, and how I was very wrong when I had an accident, and it was a freak accident, and I stepped on the tail of a stingray, believe it or not. It happened back in my hometown here in Adelaide. I was back here with some corporate clients and I stepped on this stingray. So if you think of Steve Irwin, who had a fatal accident with a stingray, so mine happened 2 years prior to his fatal accident. What the result of that for me was I spent the next 2 years off my feet, in and out of hospital. I was fighting for the use of my left foot. They were talking about amputation, and on two occasions I almost lost my life. And, you know, I often say to people, if you think of being off your feet for 2 weeks, what would that feel like for you? But for me, having 2 years going from, you know, traveling the world and being a self-confessed workaholic at the time, it was a really challenging time for me. And I can honestly look back and say that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it led me on a completely different course. I came back to Australia, to Adelaide, to convalesce, to get better, in and out of hospital. And it was during that time that I was really working, you know, on myself to keep myself positive in such a desperate situation, that I started taking up all the things that just were going to make me really happy. So I took up singing. I took up singing lessons. I still can't sing, but I'm a great karaoke singer. I took up knitting. I took up mosaics. But I decided to become a marriage celebrant. I thought, well, that'd be good, and I would fill up my time studying that. I'd love to marry some of my friends and my nieces and nephews. And so it was really after becoming a marriage celebrant, shortly after my best friend's father passed away, and she asked if I would conduct his funeral, to which it had never even occurred to me about doing that. But I thought, what an honour to have been asked, and of course I would do it for them, even though I was quite nervous about that, because I hadn't really dealt with, you know, apart from my own two experiences facing death head on, I'd never been around much death in my life. I conducted this service this day, and when I was driving home, I realised it just hit me that I had just lived on purpose and I had found my calling. I had, you know, in all the experience I've had in my corporate career and traveling the world, and I'd never experienced such a feeling that I did that day of truly being of service to a family. So from that, it actually opened up all these doors. The funeral director was the state manager of a funeral home, said, this was amazing because you had a really different take on death, and I was talking about the love, which I'll get to shortly. He said, would you be interested in doing more work with us? Could we contract you? And I said, yeah, of course. And, you know, 6 months later, I had done over 100 services for them, and we're now 8.5, nearly 9 years later, and I've worked alongside now thousands of individuals dealing with the realities of grief and loss, death, And that has given me really privileged insight into how we do cope with grief and loss as a society. And it's become my passion, it is my calling to work with these people and helping them through one of the toughest times of their life. So that's kind of my journey in a nutshell.
That was a big, big event for you, wasn't it? Stepping on the stingray and now changed the direction of your life.
Life changing.
Yeah.
It did. And, you know, also at the time I was so career driven, I'd never even considered having children. You know, I had no time for family and friends. And even when I got over there to start working this job, I thought, what have I done? I went over there and I thought everything I ever wanted was in front of me and I didn't have it. And I really believe the universe had another way of getting me, you know, bringing me back here and bringing me to what my true calling was. And, you know, and I found myself a mother. You know, 2-3 years into after having my accident, I became a mother, which was something that was I never even saw on my radar. And, my two boys that I have now, they're just my biggest joys in my life. Couldn't imagine my life any other way.
Oh, that's just wonderful. It's wonderful how these things happen, that the universe comes and turns up and just gives us a bit of a slap in the face sometimes, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And do you know what? The signs were all there for me and I ignored every single one of them. And it was like, I think the universe then said, well, guess what? You're not listening. So now we're going to make something happen and get you back on track.
Yeah, I've heard of people getting the whisper, and if you don't listen to the whisper, then it gets the next big thing, and it's like a slap in the face. And until sometimes there's people like you that get this major wake-up call, isn't it?
Absolutely. I call it the Mack truck. The Mack truck came and hit me. And I tell you, did I wake up? But, you know, sometimes I think maybe it had to happen for me to fully appreciate, you know, being face-to-face with death on a couple of occasions. I now have a permanent partial disability to my left foot. I had to go through some real financial struggles, you know, loss of income and... you know, I've faced so many different types of adversities that I think it was preparing me for what I deal with now on a daily basis with families and with different types of loss. So I really believe I had to live it and live through it all so I can fully appreciate what other people are going through.
Yeah. So I suppose that leads us into our topic of love and death. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that, how you come up to, you know, putting that message out of having love and death?
Sure. So every service that I conduct, and I have conducted over the last 8.5 years, I'd always walk away a different person. And there's always a lesson, like a life lesson and a fundamental lesson that I've learned. And I would literally walk away feeling like a changed person. What I would see more than any other emotion, so, you know, I see fear and I see sadness, I see hearts break, you know, I see anger, I see dysfunction in families, I see everything. But the emotion that I see more than anything else is love. And I came to realize that I don't work in the death industry, I work in this industry of love. Because I would go and sit with a family and imagine, you know, a husband and a wife, they've been married for 60 years. And the wife has passed away, and I'd sit with, you know, the husband at a really vulnerable and very difficult time in his life. And I'd sit with him and say, tell me about when you first met. You know, I'd love to hear your love story. And his eyes would light up, and it was like he was reliving his life again, and it was flashing, and he'd take me through how they'd share milkshakes together, they met at a dance, he knew exactly what she was wearing, and you know, and I think, you know, he just shared with me the love. And then I would sit with a family, let's say a child's lost their parent, and they share with me the love that they have for their parent. And, you know, then I go away from that and I write this beautiful service for them and it representing that love. And then I would see, you know, a family that has lost their child. And, you know, that's just unthinkable what these families go through. But they share with me the love. And so really from that, and even in dysfunction, and, you know, I see dysfunction all the time within families, and I came to learn that it's quite normal. But the dysfunction was all born out of love. And so when I could really shift that perception for people, you know, it started to aid in their own healing when they were focusing more on the love than on the, you know, the sadness. And so that's really where the love in death was born, was from me just purely seeing on a daily basis the absolute love that people have for one another. And I'm also a very big believer that grief is the unspent love that you have for a person. So when I'm seeing their tears of sadness, I call them their tears of love. And again, it's shifting that perception for them. And it really aids in their healing. And that's really where it came about. So July this year, I launched the Love in Death movement, which has become a global movement. And it's, for me, it's all about shifting society's perception of death from one of fear to one of love. And that's the Love in Death.
Oh, and that's beautiful, because I have seen a lot of, you know, people, like even with my own family, you see that it's everything is about sadness and that at that time when that happens. But it actually is about love, isn't it? I just love that you're changing people's perceptions. Yeah. I understand that, yeah, they are tears of love, not tears of sadness. Because
absolutely. Yeah. And I believe, you know, we're all born into this world in love, and we leave this world surrounded in love. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you, you know, when I can stand before a congregation of people and all I feel is complete love and peace. And even if it's a family at war with one another, there is a moment that I feel complete love coming from all of these people for the person that's passed. And I think that's what we really have to draw on. And from what I see, you know, and I get, you know, I work with families after they've lost a loved one, and I get them writing in journals. I call it a love journal, and write about their love story. You know, every day, even if it's just something little, just write about the love that you have, something you loved about them. It really is aiding in their healing. It's helping to shift their focus. You know, at the, you know, the moment, you know, the five stages of grief that people know is, you know, anger and denial and bargaining, etc. But to me, they have a really negative connotation. So if I can flip it and say to people, let's just focus on the love, like, of course you're going to go through different stages, but we're just talking about love. And I believe that's the way that you will, it'll aid in your healing.
Yeah, I love that. Tell me more about the global movement, what you're trying to get out there. Are you trying to get to people before this happens to prepare them, or is it more for people who are going through that grieving stage?
It's actually for both, Leanne. What I initially, for me, because I work with families mainly, after it was about helping them and aiding them through that healing process once they've lost a loved one. But once this Love in Death movement was when I first launched it, you know, I had hospices reaching out to me from overseas saying, Sharon, how can we work with you and what can you teach us? Because we're dealing with, you know, palliative care patients and, you know, elderly people who are so fearful. So how can we work with you in sharing that love? And so it's really become for both, for people facing death and families facing that reality as well of losing a loved one, preparing them and getting them focusing on the love more than the fear. And then it's the after as well for the families who are here and really struggling. So it kind of started becoming bigger than I ever imagined. I've had professors from universities in America writing to me saying, Sharon, you know, it's incredible to know, like, up until then we've just had, you know, the five stages of grief, but it's so, you know, what a privilege to know you're leading the way through love, and we can start to teach out to our psychology students and, you know, care workers, you know, coming from a place of love. So I never imagined it to be that big, to be honest, and it's really taking on, in a funny way, it's taking on a life of its own, and I see me as just purely being a messenger in all of this and just sharing from my experience. of what I've seen.
And it does sound like a movement that's being taken up as it's in the very beginnings, and it's seen as something that's very much needed, because we haven't heard a lot about that out there, have we?
Not at all. Like, I don't believe we've ever looked, or we haven't looked at death in that way. And you know, when we do look at grief, and we look at grief as a form of love, and even, you know, when we're fearful of losing someone, we're going, you know, one of our loved ones, we're going to lose them. There is so much fear in that, and I absolutely get that. But when you look at that fear, it's because you love them so much. So if you can start to really embrace that love and the love for one another, and so together you focus on that love in their, you know, lead up to their passing, and you can openly share your thoughts and openly share your feelings, you know, it helps everyone, and it aids in the healing of everyone. I've heard so many times people say to me, Sharon, if only I knew about this, you know, because my best friend's just recently passed away, and I was too scared to go there with her and talk to her about death. But if I could talk to her about the love, that would have made it so much easier, and I could have told her everything I felt. So imagine what that could do for a society if we can start to come from that angle rather than fear.
Oh, definitely. It'd be amazing. So you were talking earlier about a couple of things like love journal, love letters, and the communication, how important that is. Well, how would you actually help somebody with it? Like, what is it really particular strategies that you would say to someone how to deal with love and death?
Look, there's different ways. So I guess, you know, each person, it's individual, but I really believe having a love journal. I mean, I'm currently writing my second book, and it's on the seven stages of healing through the eyes of love. And for example, the first stage of healing is all about love of self. And so what I take people on is the journey, particularly who are undergoing, you know, intense loss, is taking them on this journey of self-love first. And then there's the love of their loved one who's they've just lost, and that is all about writing in this love journal, is taking them on this, you know, a love journey. Lighting candles, that's another wonderful way. If they're not into and not up to writing in their journal, you know, just lighting a candle in memory of that person every day is enough to bring about, you know, a slight shift in their focus, because it really is about shifting their focus to aid in that healing. Beautiful. There's many different stages of love, the seven stages of love, I call it. Yeah. And I believe I don't believe there's anything out there in that can heal people in this way through purely through the eyes of love. And so, if you look at it, we're all love, you know, that's what I believe. We're all love. And one of my favourite movies is Conversations with God. I don't know if you've ever
seen it.
Neil Donald Walsh. Oh my gosh, it is so amazing. You need to watch, you know, you can Google it and watch it. It's incredible. And he says in there, and it was so profound for me, that really within society we have only two free choices, that we either come from a place of fear or we come from a place of love. We have no other choice. So hatred and anger and denial, everything, that's coming from fear. And otherwise we have a choice to come from love. So, and it's about waking up every day and choosing, which way am I going to come from? Am I going to come from this place of love? And that's with everything that we do in life. And so there's times when I feel fearful or worried about something, and I always remind myself, am I coming from a place of fear or love right now? And as soon as I shift it to love, it changes everything for me.
So tell us a bit more about your book that you've just launched.
Yes, so just 2 weeks ago I became a published author, which was a dream come true. I've always thought about this moment. The book is called Seven Life Lessons Learned Through Loss, and it's powerful stories of love, hope, transformation and legacy. So these are the top seven lessons. So in my line of work, dealing with, you know, thousands of individuals, dealing with the realities of death, I came to see that there are seven clear life lessons, and these are the ones that have literally impacted my life. So what I did was wrote about these life lessons. I've woven in these beautiful stories of families that I have worked with, and then woven in how it's impacted my life with the view of inspiring the reader and motivating them, you know, and even challenging them to look at their life and just consider, you know, am I really living my best life? So the first of the life lessons is that death is love, and it's introducing this whole concept of the love in death. So that was really the precursor to the love in death movement, was writing this book. But then the other life lessons are, you know, they're just written from a space of love. But the feedback I'm getting from people already that who have read it is it's just exceptional. People that are dealing with loss themselves, it's giving them a lot of comfort, it's giving them a lot of peace. But then there's also people that have read it that haven't lost anyone, but they're looking at it going, wow, this has inspired me to really look at how I'm living my life and what it means to truly live my best life. So, you know, I'm absolutely thrilled that there's such transformation happening within people who are reading it.
Oh, that is awesome, isn't it? I love it. I love it when I hear about new authors and getting that book out and just getting a message out there to spread it around the world, because it's one thing that people can just pick up and can get such great messages from. And I'm just loving that whole process myself with a book. So we're nearing our time. So I could talk for ages on this topic. I'm loving what you're saying about it all, and I think it's such an important message to get out there and help people. But if people want to get in contact with you, what's the best place for them to find you or to get your book?
Sure. So they can go to my website, which is sharonmuscat.com. Now, I'll spell my surname, which is M-U-S-C-E-T, so sharonmuscat.com. So they can learn all about the work that I do as an author, as a celebrant, but also I'm an international speaker. I speak on in a public space, but also in a corporate space as well, because grief and loss in the workplace, you know, is a silent phenomenon that's happening. You know, it's worth to the economy $6.5 billion annually, because we're not addressing loss in the workplace. So I'm working on that as well. So my website is one way. They can also email me. I welcome emails, which is connect@sharonmuscat.com, and I welcome hearing from people. The book they can also purchase from sharonmuscat.com/shop, and it is also available on amazon.com and amazon.com.au.
Great. Well, thank you so much for today, Sharon.
Thank you, Leanne. I really appreciate the time.
Igniters, what an amazing subject to talk about. Sharing our love rather than our grief can transform that fear of death so we can celebrate the power of love. If you want to contact Sharon, go to www.sharonmuscat.com. For more about putting balance into your life, go to my website www.leanneblaney.com.